It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Welcome to episode 421 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Better if your fucking technological fucking issues weren't present.
Oh, sounds like it, yeah.
Seems like fucking nerd of the group and you can't get your shit together.
Look, at the end of the day, it takes a lot of fucking string and a lot of tin cans to be able to pull you into a fucking episode all the way up through the Darren Lockyer way. And up to the fucking the mountain wasteland known as Toowoomba.
Mountain wasteland. Oh, fuck, that is going to get a workout.
So, I repeat my question. How you going, fellas?
Great, thanks.
Get hype. Get hype. It's another episode. It's exciting.
I mean, we're fucked up round. The most dour one of the group, and you're not in lockdown.
Me?
Yeah.
How am I dour? I just said I was great.
Yeah, but you didn't say you were great. You didn't say it like you meant it. You just sort of said it like, you know.
Fucking, you try being a West Tiger supporter and do cartwheels when some cunt asks you how you are.
That's true. You're living in a state of perpetual emotional lockdown.
A, I'm not built for cartwheels. B, I'm a West Tigers fan.
Yeah. So it was a strange old round of football. I mean, given that we had a couple of games off the top, and then it was like,
was it strange or was it exactly the same as it's always been?
Well, up until Friday, the results weren't the same.
Yeah,
but then we had that situation on Saturday where it's like, well, you know, I was geared up to go and see a fucking game, like as close as an NRL game could ever be played to my place. Wrong. That shit's cancelled. Cancelled all the Sunday games, pushed them over to Monday, took all the Saturday games, pushed them on to Sunday. But we didn't know until like Saturday night that they were even going to be on Sunday, or was the rest of the round to be cancelled or, you know, pushed back a week. It was a tumultuous time in the game. And now, as it stands, all that good NRL action that, you know, Queensland-based supporters were looking forward to is completely fucked. And they're playing all the games probably for the rest of the year, I reckon, at Suncorp without crowds.
Crowdless. Yeah.
Yeah. So our glory time is over. I think it, what, lasted three games in Queensland, I think. I think I had the one down at, yeah, so the Dragons down the Gold Coast and the Tigers. Was there another one? I can't remember. Maybe
it was two.
Fuck, it was only two.
It was only two.
Jesus Christ. Mm. Yeah, because the last one was to be this round coming. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the ultimate. Hey, positive news! All the games are going to be played out of Queensland probably till the end of the season. Except
and now you
can't fucking go to any of them.
And it probably now all but certainly means that it's a Melbourne Grand Final.
Possibly. This is my fault for doing it, but I kept the KO running after the Manly game last night. Mm-hmm. And I thought, because maybe they might show the press conferences on the TV and I wouldn't have to worry, you know, go through the app later to find it and watch it. But then it went on to the show, you know, with Vonnie and Fuckhead and the other Fuckhead and, you know, Kent and Bars and all. And oh my God.
The Fuckhead and the other Fuckhead.
I've avoided this show like the fucking plague. Because you just know from the parts that make up your machine, you know it's a piece of shit machine. But
yeah,
Kent was going, he's saying, oh, now that, you know, now Queensland, because of the way that they sort of cancelled those games on the Saturday and sort of, you know, locked down the NRL and you know, had to be, you know, very quickly negotiated to keep the round going. That's it. They've done, you know, they've done their dash, and now it should go to now the grand final should go to Victoria.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And then,
so hang on, he's saying that it's some sort of thing where the NRL would be punishing Queensland.
Well, he'd be saying that they would be, yeah, they'd be getting, because Queensland, you know, disrespected the NRL, or like, oh, you know, or punished the NRL by in a lockdown, emergency lockdown situation that was only decided on the Saturday morning that it was going to be locked down on Saturday 4 p.m. because they like to do that, and they've sort of, you know, they've done that. They haven't supported the NRL adequately, despite the fact that all the games, like there were games last year for periods of time, and games just, you know, last month, for example. So, yeah, and like it's funny though, like Buzz Rossville, he was kind of the other way. He was like, well, no, you know, Queensland, you know, they've hosted the game up here, you know, they deserve another wow. But I guess when it's a battle of two fuckheads, I mean, I guess you're inclined to, one of them is probably going to be the side that you'd fall on, I guess, if they're two diametrically opposed fuckheads.
Legit, I strongly believe that show is closest in, you know how like there's always those surprising animal relations? Where it's like, you know, do you know that a fucking zebra is more closely related to an octopus than it is a horse? Like all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck? That
show, well, you know, there's these surprising evolutionary twists.
Yeah. Not exactly, I really feel like that situation.
I feel like we need to get back to CNC. For the purpose
of the analogy, man.
Look, I watched a fucking show the other day. Do you know there are crabs and there are fake crabs? The whole fucking evolutionary branch of shit that used to be a lobster didn't want to be a crab. But then after it missed the fucking crab boat, decided, fuck, that looks all right, and evolved into something like a crab. And now they're not crabs, they're called fake crabs. Just fucking fascinating.
So I don't want to be a lobster anymore. I might just park up here in Jay's pubic region.
Ha, ha, ha. What would they live in, Glenn? Thanks to our sponsor.
Manscaped.com. What would they live in? Use code TWILATION to save 20% and get free shipping.
Set them up. You got a spot.
My nether regions are a fucking tundra.
fucking barren.
So the point is, do you guys have any particular thought at the moment? Like, you know, right now, weeks and weeks out, like a month, you know, almost 2 months out, I suppose.
Yeah, what I was going to say was that show is more closely related to fucking that wrestling stuff than any other actual form of television. I am now almost certain that when any issue comes up, they get two of them on there and they go, rightio. Yeah. You know, tonight you're arguing for this and you're going to run at him and fucking yell and scream at him about this. And that's how they handle all of these issues. Because if you notice, the next day, all of their media and all of their clickbait shit doesn't actually revolve around anything they've said. Duh, it's fucking clickbait. It's always, you know, angry Rothfield berates Paul Kent.
Yep. Yep.
So the articles, you know, a lot of the time it doesn't even have what they're arguing about. It's just they had a disagreement.
Yep.
Tune in to see the fucking men argue.
Yep.
It is as fucking simple as the revenue they get from television for the grand final, they're going to get.
Yes.
There is additional revenue opportunity from ticketed seating.
Mm-hmm.
And if Queensland come back and say, we've loved having you here, but you can't have fans at the grand final, it's an
easy decision.
No worries at all. We appreciate that. We need the 80,000 people to turn up, and we can have that in Melbourne.
Yeah. I mean, if it became a situation where Queensland was unlocked down and people could go to the games, whether they had to wear masks throughout the games like we did last week or not, that's beside the point. But if you could have 100% capacity, you know what? Even if you could have a 75% capacity Suncorp,
yeah,
I reckon if you could get any amount of fans into Suncorp under whatever the conditions with COVID are at the exact time, I think they'd take it.
Yes.
Over taking it to Melbourne. So, yeah. I don't know. It remains to be seen. There's a long time to go.
Absolutely nothing to do with who likes who and have they supported us and have they done this.
Yeah. It's a fucking financial decision. And it'll be made fucking based on whatever the biggest financial gain is going to be, regardless of where it is.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
The game's lost enough at the end of the day through this whole COVID situation last year and how this season's trending. You know, with the they've had to take diminished funds on the TV rights, etc. As a result, they're in the hole to some degree, and just playing it at Suncorp because it's rugby league heartland in front of no one makes zero financial sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's it. The only reason I think that there would be an issue is if Melbourne says, okay, you're coming out of Queensland, you need a 2-week isolated quarantining period.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they would put their players in a situation where they can't train for 2 weeks directly before a grand final.
I think
that'd be the only consideration in terms of effective final product, where they'd go, oh, fuck, because if we do that, then we'd probably have to give them at least a week, maybe 10 days, like make-up training time.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we're looking at having our fucking grand final a month after we normally would. That becomes a decision. But apart from that sort of condition, it's all money.
Yep, yep. But I guess we'll see what happens anyway.
I am.
You're what? Sorry?
No, don't worry. It's a fucking tangent.
Yeah, games. Anyway, let's hit the games. Get through these because due to all that COVID stuff, yeah, the games didn't finish until, you know, sort of 10 p.m. on Monday night. So this is the latest we've ever done this episode so far this season. Thursday night's game, the Roosters 28 defeated the Eels 0 at BB Prince Stadium in Mackay. The Roosters 28 came through tries to Josh Morris, Tupanua, Walker, Tupou, Manu, Kieran, 3 goals, Sam Walker, a goal. And the Eels, nothing. Not a fucking thing.
Fuck all.
Where's your king now?
I think if not for Tom Trbojevic's brilliance so far this season, I think Tedesco would be making a pretty, making a pretty strong case for the Daily M. Copped a bit of flack through the Origin series for trying to do it all himself, but certainly with the way the Roosters season has gone, that philosophy is holding the team in good stead, given the troops that have fallen down around him. And this game, he was fucking everywhere in attack and defence. He was, you know, a couple of seasons ago, he was untouchable. Everything he did turned to gold. And I think maybe the way Tom's playing has probably taken some of the gloss off Tedesco, but His game is changing with the increased leadership capacity he has at the Roosters, certainly this season as well, but he's playing some fucking outstanding footy.
Looking I think at once, it, once the Roosters get troops back, I think his role will go back to more like the way he was.
Yeah, I agree.
I think. I mean, at the moment, it's just a case of he feels like he has to do everything into it, you know, and I guess he does have to do a lot, you know, just to take the bit of the burden off the young, very inexperienced halves. Yeah.
It is interesting. It's just obvious how much Parramatta are struggling offensively.
Yeah.
When you look over that game, possession was 50-50. You know, there was a couple of sets in favour of the Roosters that were actually completed. But for them to have essentially the same opportunity with the football and come up at such a disparity on the scoreboard, that's very, very concerning. The Roosters were good, don't get me wrong. But you've got to remember as well, the first half for both teams was below par.
Yeah. Well, the first, 15, 20 minutes, I think it was just disgraceful.
Yeah.
Both ways.
So these the bulk of those points are in the second half, or the bulk of the impact of those points is in the second half. This year, fuck, I don't know. Has it been such a thing before, like Manly without Tommy? You know, one player is the Moses effect, and I'm not at all saying that Moses is in the stratosphere of where Tommy is in terms of quality of player. But is the impact of a key player like that bigger these days? Is there something that's changed in the game where there's such a structure and there's such a set amount of play that taking a key pin out of that has such catastrophic offense.
I think it speaks more to the way to just the Eels are kind of down at the moment anyway. And Moses has a good enough kicking game maybe to get them out of the shit a little bit and allow them to kind of turn games around somewhat for themselves. But there was periods, was it last year or was it the start of this year where Moses was out and they were fine.
And they were they were serviceable. As in, you noticed that he wasn't there in terms of game management.
Mm. Yeah.
But, yeah, interesting. On the socials, Bennett in the Facebook group said, Moses is the Eels turbo. Who knew? Indeed. Stephen said, if that shit dick haircut doesn't make Gutherson look like a cunt, his attitude towards his teammates sure does. So does that segue us into the Gutho spray? What's your take on that?
Look, I like players that are passionate and, you know, and show some leadership in that, but calling guys, you know, spastics and you know, there are negative things you can say to players that, you know, sort of, you know, like that are more motivational and like to fire them up more. Then you know what the fuck? Well, I can't remember what he said. What did he say? What did he say to Arthur's kid? He said something. You know, what the fuck are you doing? You spastic or something like that.
Nice kick.
Yeah, nice kick. Like, wow. And like that shit is not the that's not the way that you pump up, especially like young.
Especially you know, players, a young guy who's played a handful of first games.
Yeah,
like come on.
Yeah.
And then the Opacek one. What did he say to Opacek? He was just like, what the?
It was just fuck me, you dumb cunt.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck me, you dumb cunt. Like, if
which that's suitable, you know, in at least one of the people on this show, that's suitable parenting language.
But, well, yeah, exactly. as far as I know, Gutho's never even been to Toowoomba.
And I say this, no,
you are a fool. Fucking cock.
Stop proving his point.
He's not my fucking child, and if he was, I'd wait. Wait, that would be proving his point.
And to be frank, like I have had, you know, lots of instances where words that I used to use have become no longer acceptable.
Yep.
Because of how hurtful they can be to certain sections of the community.
Correct.
Yeah. And as I have matured, when? I now care exactly zero about losing those words. You know, there was, you start off on the thing of, it's only a word, or I'm not saying it about them, or I'm, you know, whatever when you're young and fucking stupid. Yeah. But I think the fact that a word like that is still in his vocabulary, that's pretty fucking concerning, hey, for somebody who's supposed to be a leader.
I feel like in a on-field sports player's position, and considering the fact that, yeah, like Leighton Hewitt very publicly went through it, like must have been 15 years ago. Like there's an example on the board for a mic'd up athlete that would make you think maybe think twice. But
especially all the work the game does, you know, with special needs kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many people in the game or who were in the game have kids on the spectrum or have associations with foundations to help kids with different difficulties and disabilities? And then that one comes out. So
look, whatever he said, the angle that I'm more interested in is what happens in the video sessions? What happens in the sheds after? Mm. Because
especially when the coach is his dad.
I was going to say one of these is ways, the coach's son, by the way.
There are ways to wind up players and sort of let them know that they've done something wrong and that they need to be better, etc., etc.
Yeah,
and then there's what Gutho did,
mm.
And like I don't think you know Tom Opacek's another problem. Yeah, he's a player that's you know got problems in his life. Like when was it like last week when his brother died, or was it like the week before? And like, I don't think getting sprayed on the field by the
so-called leader of the team, king of the team, some would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Winston said Eels will be lucky to be in the eight with their finals run. Considering how bad the Roosters are with injury, for the Eels to be scoreless is embarrassing. That is true.
Yeah, well, the Eels will be in the W8 easily just because of the fact that there's almost like a four game break between 6th and 7th.
Yeah.
So there's just no way these teams are playing each other and cannibalizing each other too. So they're not going to drop out of the 8th, but I mean they could be 6th.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Jason on Twitter, who's at jsonical_, said Eels were crap, roll some heads. Fuck. Desperate talk. Andrew RLP on Twitter said Moses kicks to the corner deny Parramatta a narrow loss. That's very true, Nate. You alluded that before. They did miss Moses's game management.
Yeah. I mean, like they were always going to lose this game. I think. I mean, the Roosters were really good.
Mm.
I mean, you know, they're reaping the benefits of a season long blooding process that they've been forced to undertake through to injuries to experienced players, and it's going to bring the development. Like I can't think of any of those young players that they've had to bring forward prematurely. I can't think of any of them that have been destroyed by the process.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
Which means they're reaping the benefits, you know, they're going to reap the benefits far earlier than they ordinarily would have.
Yeah.
Presumably.
And finally, Holmes_Ryan on Instagram said, fuck me, this first half completion rate. Have we time traveled back to Monday Night Footy 2016?
Yeah. Oh, the good old days.
It's inevitable.
The pub slot game as we move on. The Warriors 18. Defeat the West Tigers 16 at Suncorp Stadium. And you did not travel down the mountain to this one, did you?
Correct. Clint? I did not.
Thank fuck for that. Because I would have had to have been there for an offload, mate. The Warriors 18, they had double to Ewan Aiken, Bunny off forward try, Reece Walsh 3 of 3 conversions. The Tigers tries to Noffa, Dewey and Umbai with Dewey 2 of 3 conversions. What say you, Glennie? Explain fucking this.
How do you explain it? That's a bridge too far. How can you ask me to explain that?
I think one thing you've got to take into consideration is that the universe understands what it needs to happen, and it also has a fucking sense of humour, because this game was lost by Luke Brooks's arm being too long.
And never would I think that I would hear anyone, let alone you, utter those words.
T-Rex.
Oh, the fucking kangaroo arm of death.
Cannot lift a forkful of food to his own mouth.
Struggles.
Can somehow touch a bouncing ball.
Struggles to press the sheets off himself in the morning. But, yes. Fucking absolutely diabolical, disgusting performance from the Tigers.
Look, the first half, though, is kind of what you expected. Maybe a little bit lower than what you expected, but, I mean, it was 2 tries
to nothing. The signs were there, though. You could see there was a level of... I think the Warriors, when they realised what was happening and what the Tigers were and what state of mind the Tigers were in, I think the Warriors got their tails up, and they sensed that the game was there to be taken, because it was definitely a listless, disinterested. Again, they're playing, you know, despite what everyone's saying from Pasco all the way through the playing group, Maguire, etc. There's enough signs there that tell me they're a side that's playing to try and get their coach sacked. And I don't even know that they're good enough to do that. So it just seems like it's just going to continue. It's fucking atrocious.
What's the numbers on how many coaches that playing group has been through? And I'm not talking about the Tigers in general, right?
Mm.
But if Madge is, for most of these guys, their first Tigers coach or second Tigers coach...
Mm.
You'd probably give them the benefit of the doubt, and you put that down to, well, unfortunately, the way that the sport works, as much as I think it's fucking stupid, is that players have guaranteed contracts under a salary cap and coaches don't.
But you have so to apply more context, given it's the Tigers and what they've had.
The coach is always going to be the easy way out.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But for any of these guys, is he like their third Tigers coach? Because by that stage, you have
Brooks,
to
start. Would have been through Taylor, Potter, and now Maguire.
Yeah, it's guys like Brooks that have been, but then you've got guys like Mbai and stuff were only brought in during Cleary and Cleary.
Oh, and Cleary, yeah. So Brooks,
you know, he left though, so he doesn't fall into the.
And they also didn't get rid of him. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, this is like Maguire would be. A lot of these guys, you know, Luke Brooks is an exception. Knopfler's an exception.
Little,
but yeah, I mean, but you know, Little, and who's the reserve grade coach? I mean, that's. That's the only coach.
He's been coming since Tim Sheens.
Yeah, exactly. So, mostly you'd say that most of them are kind of Cleary onwards, except with a couple of the more senior guys like Brooks and Noffer. Mm. I'm trying.
Maybe we should call Little. We should start calling Little Tantra, because he's always almost coming, but never quite there.
You could say that about every reserve grade
tantric
I've ever fucking had since I've known you.
I'm more like Kama Sutra. Like nobody understands how he's in that fucking position.
I love it. Keep making jokes like that because it makes me stop having to talk about this fucking game. The saddest reality of all is it wasn't surprising the way the game panned out and to ultimately lose it. And in some ways, when I saw how they were playing and their body language and what they were doing, there's a part of me that's like, this is how this is going to play out, which is pretty fucking ordinary. But again, and year after year, this is an opportunity, a team that's down, severely down on personnel, down on motivation.
Seemingly put the queue in the rack for the first team this year to put the queue in
absolutely.
The rack.
Absolutely. And we lose to them when we ain't really beat them, the Dogs twice, and maybe Jag one other game, a couple other results, and we could squeak into the eight, theoretically.
Yeah.
And the first hurdle. And
I don't think
we fall over it and it breaks and goes up our ass.
I don't think this loss rules you completely out. I mean, because you do have the two games against the Dogs, and you're not that far out of the picture. I mean, there's enough games left.
I think being the West Tigers rules you completely out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, thank you.
But the way they're playing absolutely rules them out.
Yeah, I agree.
At the moment.
I agree. Mm. But you know what? You know, sorry, before you start, mate.
No, go for it. Go for it.
You know what's going to happen, though, is that they'll win a couple of those games and we'll get all the way down. Fair enough, we'd probably pencil the Penrith game in for a legitimate loss. But we're going to get down to the last fucking round and maybe we need to win by X amount of points or only have to win to make the eight.
I know we joke about the club being a meme club.
And rightfully so, yes.
But there was a year's worth, there was a season's worth of fucking blooper reel-esque highlights in that game.
Mm.
Like the short dropout.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
The
with the old 1991 Roy Simmons try to fucking seal it.
Yeah, the,
and it was like Heritage Round or something, wasn't it? It was like 90s round or something. It was like some retro round, so they go right 90s, back to 91. Yeah.
Although, like, again, what a fucking...
You and Aiken, Roy Simmons.
But what identical. A fucking poor schedule.
Legends.
What in this round
had
anything of significance from the 90s?
Yeah, fuck all.
You know?
The theme of the episode of the Matty John Show, that's all I saw.
Mm.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, that... you know, no one at dummy half.
Yeah. Brooks.
Unforgivable. The Brooks thing was like, I'm not going to say that was like a blooper reel situation. That was like, you know, the kick coming straight at him and he sort of is regathered at speed, you know, like.
Yeah. That's only a blooper
reel. That happens every game. Yeah.
That's only a blooper reel because him running the length of the field, like a little fucking midget
for the
hero.
Second time this season to win the game. That's the best bit. He goes length of the field two times this year to win the game with a try, and both of them are called back and they lose the game.
Yeah, but that sort of thing. How does that group turn up and face each other at training this week?
Well, you have to wonder. Little looked fatigued, and he was obviously fucking struggling. And Maguire left him out there. And I know it's everybody's job to get to dummy half as fucking required, but first and foremost, it's the dummy half's job to get to dummy half, especially when you're attacking the line. And you would think that you would have your nine there, because most teams, maybe not the Tigers, most teams when you're fucking a metre and a half away from the fucking line or less are putting in some sort of attacking shape or structure to try and score points against the opposition, which is kind of what you're out there for, you fucking cunts. Maybe get the dummy half to dummy half, for fuck's sake.
And then secondarily, the fullback position then is, if the hooker is somehow indisposed and he's like, you know, hasn't picked himself off the ground from, you know, passing the ball to the guy that
anyone, someone, get in there.
The centre, fucking anybody, just get in there.
How does Robbie Farah not put himself there? Maybe this is all his fault.
Do you understand what we've been saying? That it's the West Tigers had a massive issue with their nine, and having an issue with their nine is what's made them lose a game. The universe provides. Steven in the Facebook group said, no dummy half on the last chance play. That's the most Tigers thing I've seen for quite a while. Hayden said, and the degenerate match medal for the worst match of the season goes to. What a fucking degenerate game we witnessed. It had everything.
I was thoroughly entertained. I refuse to accept that.
No dummy half, knock-ons, stripping of the balls, absolute fucking brain snaps of plays. How the fuck could you lose? Oh, wait, it's the Tigers. If Tiger Town doesn't win a Logie this year, I don't know what will. I was waiting for a disrespectful field goal. Insert Luke Brooks. The disrespectful field goal that didn't even come close. Hang your fucking head, jersey, and team in shame, you pack of cunts. Jesus Christ.
That sounds like fucking Glenn Blakely on Twitter.
Michael said, Luke Brooks with another length of the field no try was my favourite moment of this game, closely followed by the dropout to give the Warriors a winning try. At Heron Jam on Twitter said, I bet that's the last ep of Tales from Tiger Town we see. Maguire should be sacked tonight. Brooks moves on to the next dead coach. Mr. Light a Candle, the biggest Tiger, said, glad we can give the Warriors some joy in these challenging times.
Oh, fuck me dead, mate. I love you, but just stop.
The most apt review of this game from our good friend at One-Eyed Tiger, who's changed his name to One-Eyed Cardinal. I don't know if that's better or worse. Said, simply, in all caps, get fucked.
Broken. He's broken.
And as fitting, we'll give the last word on this one to at King Levius, who said, some say they were playing for RTS. Some say they were playing to break the six-game losing streak. But I know the boys left it all out on the field for me tonight. This has been a happy birthday. Hashtag Tales from Levyland. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Hashtag we will miss you, Roger.
And like earlier you said, Jay, you know, how do the players face each other after this performance? And I can't answer how, but what I can answer is this: we're going to find out, because it's going to be on an episode of Tiger Town in the months to come. So we're going to get to see this game replayed again in highlight form, plus Madge yelling out to stop the game, plus what has to be said in the sheds after that shit fight. I cannot fucking wait. I'm looking forward to it. After the two games, after the episodes that cover the two games Manly flogged them, this is the most anticipated episode of the whole series I'm waiting to see. Because if Madge isn't absolutely almost having a fucking brain aneurysm over it, I don't know what to think. Also on Friday night, the Broncos 37 defeated the Cowboys 18. At Suncorp, the Broncos 37 came through tries to Asako Glenn, Brody Croft, Jordan Ricci, and a double to Katoni Staggs. Asako 5 of 6 conversions and a penalty goal. Gamble with the field goal. Cowboys 18 tries to Granville, Dearden, and Felt. Drinkwater with 2 conversions and a penalty. Much I will say one thing. Tyson Gamble has come, like, he is not a talented player. He's not the most talented player.
He's a competitor, though.
But he is a fucking he is a footballer and a fucking competitor to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
He may be the best version of, like, that Travis Burns type player.
Yeah. I think he's an athlete, and his fitness is up there, but I don't think he was blessed with God-given rugby league talent. But he fucking can put himself in a game, and he can make an error, and it doesn't stop it. He keeps coming.
Yeah, and he's definitely got the. He might not have been given the talents, but he's been given the mind, though.
Absolutely.
He's a fucking footballer. Like, he is a footballer, that guy.
Yeah.
And, like, it's taken a while, but, like, this was his coming out party.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, like, he's been one of the better performers for the Broncos ever since he sort of came into the side around Magic Round.
Yep.
Do you think that sort of, you know, solidifies him being a six with Reynolds coming to the Broncos next year?
I think Reynolds coming to the Broncos definitely does. And that was the exact point I was going to make about this. That style of football he plays, the parts of the game it misses are exactly the parts of the game that Reynolds excels at. And if you think back to the premiership winning, the great premiership winning sides, they've had that, you know, and they're not exactly, you know, yin and yang as in opposites of each other, but that complementary halves pairing that you can sort of min-max everything you need to across both players.
I think the way he's playing, and in my opinion, you have him in the side just for his energy and his competitiveness.
Yep.
And Turpin, for me, is much the same mold. Obviously, he makes a lot of tackles in the middle as well, but he's also very competitive and puts himself in a game. And I think the Broncos, when they've performed well this season as an example, it's a result of their energy and their effort far more than skill that puts them in position for a result. They're just not a really skillful team. That's where the Broncos are at for the last couple of years.
Yeah, and that I was going to say, he's the Preston Campbell in Campbell and Gower. He's the Foran in Foran and DCE.
Yep.
You know, it's...
They just out-enthused the Cowboys in this game, I thought.
Yeah.
They really did. I mean, the Cowboys probably were a little bit harshly done by when they were starting to make a bit of a comeback there in the middle. But the Broncos were by far the better side overall. And deserved, like thoroughly deserved the win.
I will say I've never really... I can tell he's a good footballer, but I haven't really got on board the Katoni Staggs hype. I haven't really got it.
Yeah. Two tries were great.
He did a couple of things in this game where I'm like, okay, I can start to see why there's a lot of interest around him. So.
Yeah, that's it. Nice. Socials on that one. Daniel said, murderous Frank and paralyzer Jordan. What a starting prop lineup.
I mean, like two props that literally, like, have runs on the board. It's like, you know, you're playing like a prison invitational side.
Yeah. Pick your poison. Permanently maimed or murdered, whichever.
Said Croft is the fucking worst. Steven said, my interest in the Broncos is dropping faster than my betting account, but a couple of wins here and there is just enough to keep me interested. Looks like Kevy is revving up the boys big time before the games. Hopefully the passion play can carry over to next season and we start the year better. So I agree. I think the outcome of this and the performances of this are closer to what you would expect out of these two teams. If this game happened in a vacuum and we knew nothing of the rest of their season's performances, with both of these teams on paper, that performance is about how you should have expected that Broncos team to come out. Yep. This season's still been an underachievement for them. At @maddog_nospace on Twitter, I see Katoni sticking his floppy dick inside the Cowboys tonight. Adam_is boring on Twitter. said Broncos have come a long way in the attack and actually look like they have a plan of some kind, more than just Payne Haas contributing this week. Defense is still soft as hell, though. Keep letting in very soft tries. That is true.
Jake Granville wasn't the most... He's done pretty well as deputising in fullback the last 2 weeks.
A little bit of a, you know, resurgence. He was definitely on the outer and out of form. And, yeah, Peyton's fucking masterstroke.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's been a long time. I mean, like he does have history, you know, playing fullback for Wynnum. But that was a long time ago. And obviously in the power rankings for fullbacks in the club, he's probably third at best behind, you know, Hammer and Val.
You know what they say? Playing fullback is a lot like riding a bike. In that Kalen Ponga is overrated at it.
Excellent. Now we move on to the Saturday games, which ultimately became Sunday games. And the first one was the Knights 34 defeating the Raiders 24. The Knights had a hat trick to Tuala. Bradman Best, Kurt Mann, and Ponga with tries. Clifford 4 of 6 conversions and a penalty goal. The Raiders 24 came through tries to Smith, Shields, Papali'i, Young, and Gula. Croker 4 conversions.
The more I see of Jared Croker since his return, the more I'm convinced he shouldn't have returned.
Yeah.
What the fucking fuck is that? He's really bad. He's really bad.
Do you think, I mean, it can't be like he hasn't come back too soon and the injury's not 100% and he's just protecting himself. Like,
out a long time.
Yeah, I think it's just, to me it looks like he's just lost it.
Yeah.
Whatever it
is. Sometimes we've spoken about it before, sometimes you see it happen progressively over the course of a season where you're like, fuck, that guy's, he's maybe played a season too long.
Yeah.
But literally, he came back from injury, borderline fucking reserve grade at best.
Yeah, it reminds me of what happened to Michael Morgan last year.
Mm.
Remember, he came back too and he was diabolical in that first game back. I mean, he did kind of claw it back a little bit, but he was never, you know, what he was.
No.
But he was also in a position where he was touching the ball multiple times a set and had the team's attack riding on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I can't think of a player who's gone for an injury and come back and has had the skills drop. It's like fucking the good Space Jam when all of a sudden, you know, they get their fucking basketball sucked out of them by the bad guys.
That's it.
And they just can't shoot anymore. It's that fucking dramatic. But obviously recency bias and my own team, the one I thought of was Mansour.
Yeah, okay.
He came back eventually, though. Like, it took a long time, but he did come back.
He came back last year. That season last year.
Yeah.
And he was close. He wasn't back.
Yeah. But also, his injury was so fucked. I mean, you can understand how it would stay in your mind for a little while. So
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if they've got to peel your face off to reconstruct it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Look, you got to admire that guy's stones for even stepping back on the field at all. Whereas Croker, I just, you know, it's fucking alarming. For the Knights, I thought they handled, you know, the change and the disruption for this game and pretty well and played some reasonably disciplined footy. Whilst Canberra seemed to just go back into the shell that they were in a month ago and they look rattled through the game and as the Knights came at them, they didn't look like they had a great deal of answers. Despite their struggles, even in this game and over the course of the year, I think Josh Papali'i has gone from strength to strength. He had a couple of dips at the start of the season and Ricky, you know, took him to task over it. But as the season's gone on, and he's been a real shining light week after week for Canberra, but unfortunately, doesn't look like he's going to have a lot of mates. I think the Raiders, to really make an impact through into the finals, they really needed to ride that wave of the wins that they were putting together. And this is a serious step in the wrong direction for them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, for the Knights, how impressive was Bradman Best in what is...
First game back, yeah.
I would also say... Look, it's not forgotten, but maybe one of the more underrated positions on the field these days. Like, if you look around the park and you go, right, what's the first position that you can skimp a little bit on in quality of player?
Yeah.
Centre very often would be the one. You know, if I went to you and said, you can have a rep fullback or a rep centre, what do you pick?
Mm.
You know, a rep second row or a rep centre, what do you pick?
Yeah.
But fuck, he showed the value of a good one in this game.
Mm.
Yep.
You know, just his positioning, the energy he ran with, the efforts he made to get himself one-on-one with his opposite number.
Yeah.
That was a very fucking good centre performance.
He fits the mould of the Knights. I think that, they get the best out of one another in their structure. Yeah. I don't know that he's the same player on too many other teams in the comp, but the fit that he has in that squad, the respect that he has amongst the playing group and the way his game has evolved since coming into first grade and the way the Knights play, I think they just fit each other really well.
Mm. Yep. Socials on that one. Dan from the Facebook group said, after beating Para last week, the talk was Raiders were on the up. This week just shows that was more about Para than the Raiders. Oof. Ben said, stupid fucking game. Troy said, it was good to see that grub Rapana get his eye split. Actually, that's how I did mine. Danny said, much better performance from the boys, even if they let the foot off the pedal at the end. Seems the chaos of Saturday just delayed the inevitable choke that is the Raiders and the rise of rugby league saviours, the mighty Knights. Fuck me, sir. And Jamie said, good to see the boys get a much-needed win, but really noticed the lack of aggression when the Twins went off. Why isn't Clemmer that same angry prick that wanted to eat the kids of anyone that stood in his way? That's probably a pretty apt description. He's probably lucky at the moment that he's in an overachieving forward pack.
Well, it's funny. I mean, like when they bought him, I mean, he was number one on the depth chart, and the Saifidis were they were nowhere at that point, you know.
Yeah.
And now he's dropped. He is third.
Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, on to the next one.
Okay. Next game was the Melbourne Storm 37 defeating the Penrith Panthers 10. Storm's 37 came through tries to Rima Smith, Jesse Bromwich, Harry Grant, and Dean Aramaya with a hat trick. Nico Hines with a conversion, Cameron Munster with a conversion, Pappy with three and a field goal, and Pappy with a penalty goal as well. Panthers 10, tries two, Naden and Sorensen, and Burton, one of two.
Look, just like every time Penrith play the Storm, the result is absolutely nothing to do with Melbourne. And it's just all about Penrith. And, you know, this one was just simply that Penrith had the majority of their best players out and managed to still salvage respect against a team that's still dealing with the benefits of being the worst and most systemic cheaters in the history of the sport.
This is quite possibly the largest amount of bullshit that I think you've ever come out with on the show, and that includes the grand final episode last year.
Well, again, it's exactly the same as the grand final. The Storm don't matter in this equation. Their team and their fans are absolutely fucking insignificant in the scheme of things. It just happened to be them that were there this week, and it was more so about Penrith's journey to inevitable glory in 2021. That they're dealing with the absolute fucking earth-shattering loss of so many future immortals.
Fuck me. I don't know whether to call you an ambulance or a garbage truck, but fuck me. that is some horse shit.
Provide some balance, Glenn.
Look, I think what Jay's trying to say is that the Storm were clinical and Penrith were severely down on troops, and this was the result most expected. From Melbourne, and you know, I'll leave it to Jay to speak for the Penrith side of things. But for Melbourne, I think the way that they're obviously Harry Grant came back in this game, played 50 minutes of pretty reasonable quality, and yep. Pappenhausen's getting, you know, progressively more minutes as the weeks go on. I think that'll be the Storm's focus now, and you know, what a embarrassment of riches to have those guys coming in when you're leading the comp and seem to be in cruise control yep. to fine-tune your finals campaign around, you know, including those guys into the mix as well. Still not convinced Pappy's even close to being all the way back mentally, but every week he does a little bit more and a little bit more, and I'll tell you what, though,
compared to Jared Croker, you know, from what we were just saying,
you'd probably give Pappy a pass for if he was if he was Croker, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so that's like,
for his injury.
Yeah, but, fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck. I don't know why I enjoy hating on Jared Croker so much, but it's always been a little bit of a thing for me. I do enjoy it.
I remember way back to missing that goal.
Yeah, I know.
In like 2011 or whenever it was, you know.
Spraying him. So good.
Yeah.
Fuck him. Fuck the Raiders and fuck their fans. And fuck Mike Stevenson.
The clearest difference. Jesus Christ.
Let's talk about players in this game.
Between
how about fuck Charlie Staines?
Besides, was that Melbourne have maintained... There are two things that, again, I think matter this season and this new style of football that's being played. The first is precision, the second's pace. And you need both of those happening throughout the course of 80 minutes for the majority of the time to be competitive in a top-tier side.
Mm.
And Melbourne have continued on that path of having both of those in their game. It shows the benefits of being a system-focused team. You know, we've been talking about one player goes out of any of the other teams that are up in that top six and the wheels fall off. Whereas Melbourne can do things like lose somebody who was a shoo-in for Origin, like Pappenhausen, and all of a sudden it's just next man up.
Mm.
Yep.
You focus that on Penrith and they look tired. You know, they...
It's fucking dangerous when someone associated with the Penrith Panthers looks tired.
It's true. That's usually grounds for dismissal.
Would be at the Bulldogs, given their current roster. But throughout most of 2020, they were... Like, they came back from the break fitter than any other team, and they carried that through the rest of that season. They'd been that way this season as well. They just went in, and they understood that they could out-enthuse people over the 80 minutes, and they look tired. There were situations in this game where their line speed was off. They weren't able to wrest back control of the game like they had previously. And again, trying to do it against the best team in the competition at the moment is no easy task.
Without four players that you would that they would tend to lean on to do exactly that.
That's it. Who add to the Penrith side both pace and precision.
Mm.
You know? Look, I'm a fucking Dylan Edwards stan, and I will give him the benefit of the doubt.
Until when, though? Because
he's the fucking Jared Croker of the fucking Penrith Panthers. That guy is a fucking the most overrated player. We're talking about
Glenn's definition of Jared Croker too, in the harshest possible terms.
And in saying that, I'm essentially he's there because I can't think of a better option.
It's because there isn't one. There I isn't mean, one. Like Crichton is a very good centre.
Yeah,
but he's had games exposed at fullback.
Yep. Charlie had a better option, but I don't know what the fuck he did. But you shipped the poor cunt off to the Tigers.
Are you talking about Shunter Laurie?
And Charlie stays. I mean, when you're missing guns like Toto, who's known to for whatever else he does on the field, he's known to cart a ball back and bring you and start your sets off in reasonable position. And then when you're losing that and that's being offset by the likes of Charlie Staines, who over the course of a fucking full game has four runs for 15 meters.
Mm.
And misses
a bunch. Never of has a player been more appropriately named.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that Ferrari shit needs to get straight into the bin now. I mean, oh, Jesus Christ.
Look, that's simple physics, but it really is a question of that team needing an attitude readjustment in terms of what it means to fucking dig deep and work hard. And I'm not at all saying that they're lazy or they didn't put in, but there are times previously where Penrith have been in games and in games where they were the favourites and been in a situation where they had pressure applied to them for a long time, and you could see the response in unity from the team. Mm. There was an upshift in tempo, there was an upshift in aggression, and it was across the field. That's the most important thing they need to gain back as they make their charge home to the finals. You guys got anything else to say on the unimportance of the Storm?
I think you covered it, mate.
The Storm were very good. I just think the Panthers should have been better, despite because when you aspire to be one of those sorts of teams, there should be better. You should give better than some of the capitulation that they did. Do you remember some of those tries? I mean, like the tries they did get, weren't they were like knoffers.
Correct.
Tries,
David said it's pretty incredible how Cleary on his own turns this side to a contender from a pub site, almost as influential as Tommy. Maybe.
Fucking, it's more than just Cleary. Like, I feel like I've got to balance out not just your bullshit, but some bullshit the other way. It's more than just fucking Cleary. Like, Jesus fuck. Why am I the guy?
Super Grover said the disrespectful field goal. Love it.
Yep.
Nathan said missing Tyrone May was huge. If he plays, the Storm score 50. Cathal. Look, I think you pronounce it Cathal, or it's Cathal. I don't know.
Cathal it is.
I don't know. Like Ethel with a C. Who knows? Always happy to win, especially when it's against the top side. At the end of the day, you can only beat what's put in front of you. But I wouldn't be getting carried away about today's result, with Penrith having so many out. Hopefully the Panthers get their troops back when we run it back in the grand final, see who really is top dog. Indeed. Ben said Penrith won the last 10 minutes, 10-1. Storm need to lift their game. Fuck everyone. Look, I don't normally do replies, but the reply to that one was called, otherwise known as the Premiership Minutes.
Brilliant.
Jared said, I thought Penny was going to get completely annihilated with who ran out for each team. Penrith should be proud of their boys. They're in that game a lot more than the scoreline suggests. Can't wait for the full strength battle. Fucking, what is it with these measured, sensible stuff? I've been used to fucking Super Grover and his Gronk friends for too long. Welcome, you new generation of fucking amazing Storm fans.
Name one person that would class themselves as Super Grover's friend.
Well, him and his fucking like.
Okay, better. Thank you for clarifying.
I'm sure the 50,000 people all marching through Sydney for their freedoms wouldn't say that they're all friends, but,
Get it. Ah, good analogy.
Skillo214 on Twitter said Storm were much smoother than last week and looked good most of the time in attack. Had the Anthers to Panthers until junk time. Rubbish defence last 5 to 10 minutes. Josh Bomb early on was top notch. And Paps party tricks at the death were fun. How good. And from Instagram, MikeRed94 said, how can Cam Smith be the GOAT if the Storm are substantially better without him? Not to mention 300% more likable too. It is a fucking good question. Yep. On to the next one.
The Rabbitohs 50 defeat the Dragons 14. This one, the Rabbits had tries a double to Luttrell. Reynolds, Walker, Milne, Sua, Mansour, Arrow, and Kalomatangi all with tries. Reynolds 7 of 9 conversions. The Dragons 14 tries to Burns, Fuyamono, and Sloan. Corey Norman with one conversion.
said many times that the only thing worse than the Dragons is their fan base, but Dragons are pretty fucking bad in this game. With Para faltering a little bit with Moses' absence, as we've discussed earlier, and whilst I will admit this was a long way from a really polished performance, South looked to be assuming that mantle is the side most likely after Melbourne, Penrith and Manly. And the fact that Latrell has definitely gone to another level since Origin is, you know, you factor in Bennett tapering them for the finals.
Cody Walker having like a low-key fucking Dally M season.
Yeah.
Himself. Yeah,
exactly.
In probably one of the hardest teams to have a Dally M season in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you talk about distribution of points.
You know, yeah. obviously the fact that Reynolds is moving on, he's well-respected amongst the playing, but, you know, like, it just seems Rabbitohs are just low-key building really nicely. I don't know that, you know, the fact that they belted the Dragons is, you know, is a great tick in their premiership credentials, but it's the other stuff that they're doing and how they're going about their business. But Latrell is a big one for me. He just probably some of the best footy I've seen him play.
I tell you, I look, and apart from my own side, apart from Penrith, I would say that the Rabbits are probably the attacking side that I enjoy watching most.
When it's on, like when it hits its mark, it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. And it's because like I look across the competition and there's still that fuckhead part of my brain that looks at every team and thinks, I could probably be part of that, even at my age. If I had a good solid preseason, really, really put my nose to the grindstone. Like, you know, if I
could throw my fucking left arm at a football and pick it up and run 90 metres only to walk back for no fucking reason whatsoever.
Like, if Isaiah Yeo can do what he does half retarded, at least I could at least do it for 20 minutes off the bench.
I'll give you 10.
But you look at South and how some of their attack is constructed. And the closest thing I can compare it to is me watching people dunk in the NBA.
Mm.
Because just no matter how hard I train or how hard I work, I'm not doing what Latrell Mitchell did. It's just they are such a fucking athletically talented football side. And I think that may be what makes them the dark horse. And I'm not suggesting that people aren't respecting their premiership credentials. But
there's not as much chat around them as there are. Like,
yeah.
I think even in the media, it's generally viewed as a two-horse race.
And there are some deficiencies in their side against the other, you know, heavyweight contenders. Their forward pack isn't, you know, again, whilst there's a lot of effort in there, they're not as dangerous, I'd say, as the others. But
whilst they're adequate defensively, I don't think. You know, you'd back Melbourne or Penrith, a full strength Penrith, to defend their way to a win. Whereas South are going to win by fucking just being on and blowing teams.
That's it. So, look, fucking Dragons, yet again. Like
one elite player in that club, and he's out potentially for the rest of the season. I mean, they're kind of clinging to the scraps of one of the minor positions in the eight, but with Ben Hunt gone now, then that's the end of it. And they're going to be cannon fodder for anyone who steps up against them and the stepping stone for some of those teams underneath.
How many more games will they have, you know, X amount of players serving one game suspensions?
I think this is the last one. I think this is the last, and they had to serve it over. Yeah.
I was like, you three games, take so. Hunt out, and then you've got that on top of it for another couple of weeks. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll tell you what, you've got to give him credit. I mean, he's a tough cunt. Yeah. I mean, after playing like, you know, half a game earlier in the season, like a broken leg.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fucking broken leg. And then he's played half of this game with a broken. He did it in the first 20 minutes, I think. Mm. Like, I mean, what are you actually going to say, man? He's a tough motherfucker.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah.
And it wasn't like he was out there trying to keep his team in the game, if you know what I mean. Like, he was out there, they were getting thumped, and he was still, you know, giving his all with a broken arm.
Fuck. Yeah.
Jesus. Ash in the Facebook group said, "Ah, Wayne gets to admire both his latest creation and the ashes of the fire he lit on the way out of the Dragons." Grover said, "Rabbit's taking the Mars bars out of the freezer and getting room service to place them on the Dragons' pillows." Were they the ones that club that, like, they were staying in the same hotel leading up to the game? Who was that? Or was that the Raiders and the Knights?
Not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
That's it, okay.
Was it that they were staying in the same hotel or they were going up on the same flight and then they said, "No, fuck it, they're not coming on our flight with us, they're going to a separate flight."
Fuck,
I don't know if it was a hotel or flight.
Yeah, okay.
Just on that previous comment, quick thought from both of you. Do you think the Rabbitohs, after Wayne goes, do you think they go through the same thing? I think not. I think they've got a different age and different roster. And
are you talking about like the salting of the earth?
Yeah,
just signed Anthony Milford.
Well, he did sign Milford to them, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. No, no. I mean,
that's textbook salting behaviour, is it not?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. I didn't realise that was official. I saw...
Darius is retired now, so you can't sign him to them.
So next... Halfback. He signed Black Darius instead.
So, yeah.
Just on that note, did that shock anyone else? And again, we had this discussion in the private members WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
That the phrase "at the right price" is a fucking cop out. Like, to say, "Oh yeah, look, I'd take that player, but it'd have to be at the right price." Well, fucking of course it would. Because the wrong price is never okay for any player. But did you read the articles around where the Rabbits have come out and said that if you want money, we're not the club for you, but if you want to revive your career? They essentially looked at him, or they've said they're looking at him in a Benji Marshall replacement role. Yeah. So to take and on what Benji's doing.
I think that could work for him, honestly. And if he goes there with that, and if he signed on with that mindset, that he is actually looking to revive, you know.
I've said it before. I think the Broncos set Milford up for failure. They wanted to be several things that he's just not. A 5'8", B, a player that can take on and handle a huge amount of responsibility and be a focal point of the team, set after set after set. He's just not that guy.
But the 16 and 15, I mean, he kind of was that.
But look, he would have won the
Clive Churchill medal if fucking Kyle Felt got pushed into touch. you know, like I say.
We talked about it before in the Broncos game, right? Let's take, who was a great... Let's take prime Benji Marshall. You know, 05, 06 Benji Marshall.
Prime Benji was probably 10, 11, but yeah, I'll take your point.
Well, okay, when the Tigers won, you know.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
And put him in the halves with Cody Nikorima. What happens to his legacy?
He's in the halves with John Morris for a while.
What other examples? Preston Campbell. You know, put him in the halves with Nikorima. What happens to him? I agree. The Broncos have fucked him up. Finally, on that game, Devon Head said, "At least now we've conceded 50, we can start planning our end of season trip and sell those grand final tickets we bought back in April." # Mars Barbecue.
The Titans 34 defeated the Bulldogs 6. Titans scored their points through a double to Brian Kelly. Ash Taylor, Big Tino, Essen Masters, and Marzu scored tries. Sexton, 5 of 6 conversions. The Doggies had a try to Biondiotto and a conversion to Kyle Flanagan.
Ash Taylor would
look... nothing to say about this game.
Ash Taylor would look worth every one of his $1 million if he played the Dogs every week. It's the best game I've ever seen him fucking play in his life.
Yeah. best game Brian Kelly's played since he's been at the Titans as well. True. They were all on. And the Dogs are running out of fucking excuses, because this is a game where if they want to build themselves on a bed of incremental improvements and valiant fucking performances against good teams, this is a game where they need to be in it up to their eyeballs, and they were blown away from the fucking first minute.
Yeah. They were, and Fifita didn't start the game, so they were the game was well and truly fucking done before the real target or the real strike power came on the field. The first try for Tino set the tone for the game. It was soft as fuck right through the middle under the sticks, and the Dogs didn't get any better for the rest of the game, to be quite honest, and scored a try right on the buzzer to save themselves some sort of dignity. But yeah, Titans went about their business and got the job done. I think the Dogs were pretty ordinary all round, and you know, much as you just said, Nate, the games where they were losing valiantly, and you know, you could trot out the cliches in the press conference, are a distant memory, and you know, there's some pretty bad losses just in recent weeks for the Dogs.
Yeah, and I guess it's a big testing ground for the Dogs coming up too, because they got two games against the Tigers, who are now in that zone where the Titans should have been before this game, of like, this is a chance. Now, this is a game where you've got a chance.
Yeah, and as we all know, the Tigers never fucked that up, so the Dogs are in for some fucking, and a couple more horrible losses.
And Flanagan gets his recall, doesn't really do much of anything, and subsequently drops again this week.
Yeah, I think.
And I tell you what, one thing that I know from observing the game of rugby league over the last probably 35 to 40 years is that teams are fucking awesome at building combination when you're dropping and shuffling the halves every fucking week.
Yeah.
Masterstroke, Trentius.
Jay in the socials, Facebook, said, I wonder how Fifita's teammates feel about him soaking up a mil of the salary cap and sitting on the bench waiting for lower paid players to do the work so he can come in and shine.
Look, they're doing it up in North Queensland, Tamalolo as well. Like, you know, I think they're just trying to figure out that, you know, Fifita is not amazing every single game. So I think Holbrook's just trying to figure out a way to maximize the abuse that he inflicts on other teams. Yeah.
It's an interesting question, though. I wouldn't have a problem with it if it gets results. But my position on everything is I give no fucks as long as the results are evident on the field.
Yeah.
And I think as a player, you should also give no fucks.
Yeah.
In fact, it would all, you know, I'll tell you, if I was in a team and the coach said to me, I'll tell you what, we're going to wait until just before they get their first swap and everyone's really fucking spent, and then you're just going to go out there and look like a fucking hero.
Score a try, you're going to love it.
That's it. Jai said, Mitch Rain darting out of dummy half and looking crafty. Ash Taylor kicking 40-20, setting up and scoring tries. Esan fucking masters scoring tries. Wonder which team the Titans are playing. Doggies making mediocre players look like superstars. Jason said, it's no longer worth my time or effort to be angry at how this season has unfolded. I just want answers and to know what the plan is to move forward with the rest of this season. It's no good talking about the players we have coming next year. You have to live in the here and now.
There is no plan. They're 3 points behind second last place on the ladder at this point. Three wins behind. And there's, what, five games left?
Yeah.
They aren't getting off the spoon position this year. There are no miracle fucking teams, you know, balling over the Broncos to take them out. I don't think there is another plan for this year. I think they're going to limp to the end. Maybe jag a win or two over the West Tigers. And they're waiting for fucking... They're waiting for Fox and Burton and those boys to show up.
But, you know, again, I know you've said it's no good talking about the players you have next year, but that's exactly what you should be fucking talking about.
That is literally the light at the end of the tunnel.
Like, if I'm a Dogs fan, I'm sitting there with a fucking fruity drink with an umbrella in it, whether I'm next to a pool or not, kicking back and celebrating that those players want to come to my club, who is the fucking worst club in recent memory.
Yeah.
It's an impressive snake oil job when they've been fucking pretty diabolical for a couple of seasons now and look destined for the spoon this year, and they've managed to get these guys to sign on to whatever the vision is.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, it's all the vision is enriching your bank account with lots of money, more than you could get at any other club.
But in contrast, places like the Tigers can't sign anyone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Including some of the players that signed into Bulldogs for less money.
That's it.
I'm thinking maybe the gust factor has been critical for the Tavita Pangai thing and the more recent guys.
Yep, that's it.
Like obviously Fox, the deal was done a long time ago, and that was strictly homesickness combined with straight up fucking kizash.
Yeah,
and Burton's is obviously Burton's and Naden's selling points were first grade positions locked in all the time, and now with injuries and fuckery this year, Burton kind of has been a mainstay of first grade, but that wasn't necessarily going to be the case at the time he signed the contract. You know, that was just the way things panned out.
Yeah, spot on. That's it. On to the next one.
The Mighty Manly Sea Eagles.
And I will let you know before you get started with your fucking shit.
It's rich coming from you.
The Boomers game started.
It started, has it?
That's yes.
Right. I mean, I'm happy for the first half to be over, and then we sail through and hopefully win. I tell you, how good's the Olympics though? I was shitting on the Olympics on this show, I'm pretty sure, like a week ago, before it started. But fuck it, I tell you, I have been thoroughly fucking roped in.
Yeah, I fucking love it.
Doesn't matter what sport, I have been thoroughly. I've watched nothing every night for the last 10 days or 11 days, nothing from 6 o'clock onwards. Except Olympics. And all day when I work, instead of like streaming a series of a TV show or some shit, fucking Olympics has been going on my second
mind. Motherfucker, I caught some trampolining this morning. I was critiquing the balance beam and the gymnastics tonight.
I was too. I mean, you can see when they were taking, they were taking those, little balance steps and stuff.
Other than the fact that most of them are the same height as me, I've fucking got nothing in common with gymnasts.
I don't know.
You do not look 12.
You're probably competing with them for the same boyfriends.
Same amount of body hair. Yeah, good.
Yes.
Thanks to Manscaped.
The Mighty Manly Seagulls 40 defeated the Sharks 22 at Suncorp again. The Manly side, hat trick to Tommy Turbo, a double to Jason Saab. Should have been a hat trick too, but he fucking spilled it. Garrick and Harper also with tries. Garrick 6 of 7 conversions, defeating the Sharks. Tries 2, double to Will Kennedy, double to Braden Trindle. Trindle 3 of 4 conversions.
Go on, get it over with.
Well, this was exactly the game I expected it to be. We got big fish to fry over the next 2 weeks in the Storm, followed by the Eels. And so I think the objective in this one was to get the 2 points that we needed on the ladder. And it seemed like this time, and like Desi's been kind of fucking around the last few weeks in terms of like his interchange and leaving players on for the entire fucking game and just like trying to run with 16 to whatever end he's doing, I'm not sure. This time, it seemed like in the first half especially, that he just told them to go out there and just fucking go berserk and throw caution to the wind and just try stuff. Because they were doing some ridiculous fucking shit to open up the Sharks and trying some plays that, that we may see more in the finals when it counts. Like when Daly kicked it on like the first or second tackle down the middle of the field and Saab was inland and ready to get it and picked it up and nearly went the length and scored. And I think things like that, they were just far more flamboyant in attack in that first 20 minutes. And it didn't necessarily come off every time, but that flamboyance sort of there was a lot of like impatience as well, like trying to score off the first and second tackle and stuff like that. Then when they settled down and just started running the points in, that was fine. But then once again, the tight game there with the Booms. And, when they started making mistakes through being like overly flamboyant, that gave the Sharks an inroad back into the game to get it a little bit closer. And so I think at halftime they would have gone in there and said, "All right, fucking, let's just secure the 2 points." And then they came out, obliterated them, and that was basically it. Rested both of the Turbos, and shuffled things around with about 15 minutes to go. And Sharks got a couple of junk tries, but otherwise it was just a very fucking pleasing attacking performance. And marking time this week, they got a big game obviously next week against the Storm. They had players out that are coming back for the game against the Storm. So I think it was just get the 2 points. Let's not get injured by anyone injured, and get the fuck out of there. And yeah, that's what they did. And Turbo again, majestic. It was just like everyone except for Brad Parker was good. I mean, Brad Parker had an absolute fucking shocker, especially in the first half. I mean, he was pretty much responsible for, most of the points that the Sharks scored. No, I think all the points they scored in the first half anyway. But other than that, you know, everyone's great. Harper was great. But Tommy Turbo put on, you know, a variety of tries to you know, show his wares. And I think, I'm not a Supercoach player, but I remember seeing on social media, I think he was tied or like a point behind the Supercoach record, which I think Cleary had, but that was before corrections. And then I think I saw this morning that even with, you know, half of the corrections you were supposed to get, it was going to be some new fucking record. So statistically incredible, couple hundred meters, hat trick of try assists. And I just enjoyed the way, I hate it when he takes the tough hit ups, because you just fucking, you're just like, fuck, are you going to get up from it? But he, like, yeah, he showcased a couple of different fucking, you know, facets with his try scoring. I mean, one was like the under sevens, look for a gap and just fucking, you know, run sideways, find the gap straight through it, score the try. Then there was the other one where he sort of, ran the good line after he did the wraparound with Lachlan Croker. And then the other try where he just brute forced his way through like three Sharks and still got the ball down. So, it's having a great year. Team's having a great year. They got this shit together. Let's hope they keep it that way.
I can't recall a more dominant season from an individual player than what he's doing. You know, the try assist, the tries, the general play, the impact he's had on the team since coming in. I can't remember. I reckon maybe Sterling, 87, I think it was, around then, where he just every game. Was fucking outstanding.
Yeah, Joey had some good seasons back in the, you know, sort of not right at the end of his career, but sort of towards, you know, like around that sort of 2001 sort of year as well. It turns out with the injuries, I mean, he comes back better every time after his injuries. So it's like he's fucking like, it's like doomsday. He gets injured and then fucking, and then builds a layer of, builds a layer of fucking bone and comes back even better and harder each time. So,
on the socials for that one, Christopher Who has some fucking sensational beardage going on there.
Nice. I respect a good beard.
The fucking maintenance on that thing is more than Tommy puts into his hamstrings. It says Mutolino must be a straight A student.
Mutolino.
That's his new name. And that's the name of the episode.
It can be. It can be. I was going to go with fake crabs, but it can be Mutolino.
It should have been C&C, but anyway.
Yeah, well.
Gonna make you sweat.
Fuck, what a night. What a night for Italian people. We've got Mutolino and Facciole.
Yeah, Facciole.
Oh, fuck.
Speaking of Facciole, it's fucking Will Chambers. I love a bit of spice, and I mean, he single-handedly made the game spicier, and in fact, he got in ahead of his own players and had, like, you know, the fat mess Toby Rudolph lose his fucking mind and try and headbutt fucking Ruben Garrick. But I tell you, I enjoyed the spray, not knowing what he said to Dylan Walker, but, you know, presumably, you know, we could sort of, you know, we could infer what he said. But it wasn't the content of it. It was just the fucking length of the spray. And he just didn't, his mouth did not stop moving for fucking 5 minutes straight, nonstop chat. I fucking loved it. And when you talk about the socials, I love that even Manly on their Instagram account put the team song from the dressing sheds in the, they put it up on Instagram after the game, as all clubs do. The comments of that Instagram video, every comment's just tagging Will Chambers.
And look, I'll tell you what, here's the thing. My stance is, if he wants to fucking give it to a guy that bashed his wife while she was holding a baby, that's fine with me. So for this instance only, Will Chambers gets a pass.
Oh, no, I would, under any circumstances, someone talking mad shit is totally fine. I don't give a fuck what they say at all. to who they say, and nor to who they say it. It's funny Will Chambers did it though when he missed, you know, when he missed like fucking six tackles and fucking did nothing all game, and you know, and got dunked on repeatedly. But I still love the fact that the game, he may be one of the last fucking guys that has that level of fucking chat through a game. So, you know, I love having him in the game.
I'll tell you what, I've just discovered the single greatest individual season in sport, and it's better than Tommy's. It's the fucking Olympic campaign of future Prime Minister of Australia, Matisse Thybulle. Fuck me.
He was pretty good. If he could have if only he could have lifted the Sixers to the same heights single-handedly as he's done with the Boomers.
You know how we spoke about crabs and fake crabs?
Yeah.
He's got a fucking fake Aussie in front of him. So.
Yeah.
But so back to our bearded friend Christopher, who said Mutolino must be a straight-A student at the Novaluma School of Winger Defence. John said Will Chambers is the bloke at park footy that when they're down by 20 tries to talk shit and niggle with the opposition. The only problem is he's an illiterate dumb cunt. And Bennett said Chambers finishes the night with 6 missed tackles as the Sharks lost 40-22. He was taken from the field with 5 minutes left to play. Oof, that's probably the most damning thing. Getting hooked in that position.
Yep.
That's us.
Nice. Well, on that note, that's it for episode 421. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, hit up thisweekinleague.com/links to check out the multitude of ways that you can interact with us on social media and otherwise. Join our Patreon if you want to support the show. patreon.com/twillnation. Drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. All that good shit. And got some wonderful patrons to shout out this week. Adam is Boring, whose name came up in the socials I saw.
Fantastic.
Mitch G and Andrew Sutherland, a.k.a. my old mate Big Andy. Good to see you still around, my man. That is it for the episode. We have a Boomers game to watch, right?
We certainly do.
So on that note, we'll be recording again tomorrow night for the preview episode. So thanks fucking Queen Anna for locking our week down, and yeah, that's it. Any final words, fellas?
Can't wait for the preview episode.
Why is that, mate? You sound so sad. Unlike Will Chambers, I'm here for an offload in life and on the field.
I appreciate your concern. Thank you very much. Look forward to talking about the Tigers playing the fucking Bulldogs. Fuck me.
Yeah. And see, I've offered to receive the offload, but you're having trouble giving the offload. So you need to take yourself to nrl.com/state of mind to learn the tools that help you in giving and receiving offloads, Cleany.
Or I could give you a couple of other websites to visit that help you deal with CNC. Oh,
buddy. I love you, but please don't refer me to any websites.
Talk to you boys tomorrow night.
See later. Ya.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.